This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Son of God. We give you praise, Son of God. Thank you for the ministry that you are undertaking at the right hand of the Father. Oh, Son of God, we worship you. Oh, we give you praise, Son of God, we thank you. Thank you for your Father. Thank you for the things that your Father has given unto us. Oh, we give you praise, Son of God, for you are the one that holds all the things of your Father. You hold all the things of your God. You hold the things of your Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Son of God. Glory to you, oh, messenger of God, the minister of the sanctuary and of the two tabernacles. We honor you, Jesus. We give you praise, our Father. Oh, honor you, Jesus. Honor you, Jesus. We have come to see you, Jesus. We have come to know you, Jesus. We have come that you might open to us your Father. Oh, open to us. Cause us to see, cause us to behold, cause us to see, help us, Jesus. Oh, show us great mercy, Lord. Oh, show us great mercy. Cause your face to be exalted, Lord. You cause us to see as we are seeing, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Honor to you, our Father. Glory to you, Jesus. Honor to you, Son of God. In Jesus' name we are praying. We are in the season of the ministry of the Son of God. I want to teach acknowledging the Son and the Father, which was what we started the year with. I'll talk about it, you kiss the Son. Although that Psalm 2 was really majorly written to his enemies, because his enemies are those who are carnally minded. Those are his enemies, carnal minded men. Also, those who are still in friendship with the world. So those are the two crop of people that need to come to a place where they can kiss the Son. So in that Psalm 2, when we started in the beginning of the year, I said the ministry of the Son will require us to accurately be able to receive what the Son has to give to us. That will not be among the company of them that is said in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that say he came unto his own receive him not. So what we make his own not to receive him is something that is serious. So in that John, Psalm chapter 2, he was talking to those who are the kings of the earth. These kings of the earth is there for Revelation chapter 1, kings of the earth. And also, is different from Isaiah chapter 60, the kings of the earth that bring their glory into the city, and that are the kings of God who come to see the glory of Zion, Isaiah 60. So, these kings of the earth are kings of the earth that are the kings of the Eden. When you see that Psalm 2, they are the kings of the Eden, and they are the rulers of the people. When they were bringing the vision to Daniel, in the book of Daniel, there was the prince of Persia, and there is the rulers, and there is also the king of Persia. Daniel 10, and he said unto me, fear not, O Daniel, for from the first day that thou this said thy art to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy word we are heard, and I have come for thy works. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me, and 120 days. But look, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So you saw there is the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and also there is the kings of Persia. So the prince of Persia is the same person. This same prince of Persia is the prince of Babylon. When Babylon was reigning, he only took advantage of the reigning the kingdom that he designed. So the same prince of Persia is also, he was the same same person that was also the king of Babylon. That same king of Persia was also the prince of Assyria. You know, Assyria, Egypt, they have been before Babylon. They are battered different civilization. So these princes will use kingdom. Under this kingdom, you have kings that work for him. And he has rulers. Rulers are governments that rule in different cadres until the full soldiers, which are called the captain. In the book of Revelation, you see that you were describing the flesh of kings, the flesh of this, the flesh of the captain, and the flesh of horses. So he's the one that distilled, because in this 19, they took the beast. Because under the beast were all these kings. So can you see the flesh of the kings, the flesh of captain, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both gay. So everybody were under the beast. And the beast was under the dragon. In book of Revelation chapter 12, the dragon fell. Then he deceived one man to tell him that you will be the king of the whole world. And that man surrendered his soul. And he quickly trained him to become his own man-child son. Like God raised his own man-child son. He too quickly raised his own son fast and gave him all his power, gave him his seat to sit upon, and gave him all his authority also. And so that one brought, that one also came. But before this time around, he does not appoint any man to be a prince. He is the one that is the prince of all the kingdoms of the earth. Every other kings. So when you hear the war, kings there, and I go to fight the kings of Persia. The kings of Persia there, we are not human beings. They were spirits that fashion kingdoms. Then after them, human beings are called rulers. In the book of Bible, talk about say a ruler in Israel came to Jesus, a young rich ruler. So men are called rulers. Men are not kings. Because why? Men don't have dominion. You can't be a king without dominion. Men are just rulers. They rule. Joker does not call men kings. They call them rulers. The rulers of the people. The rulers in the synagogue. The rulers in the council. When you see the Joker, know that men cannot be a king. It's a lie. Satan will say men are king. Men are not king. Because there are all that dominion over them. So when you see Jesus Christ is a wise, he could design the scheme and the deception of Satan. Satan will say men are king, men are no kings. Men, sin is still having dominion over men. Death is still having dominion over men. Then, principality powers, ruler of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness, are still ruling over men that are rulers. Bible, from the gospel, does not recognize men as king, especially teaching of Jesus. He see men more as rulers. Rulers under the dominion of kings, which are spirits. Because before you can be a king, you must be able to search out things that are concealed. It's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter. The honor of kings is to search out a matter. And if you read in the Old Testament, even simple dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he couldn't search out the matter. The real king is Daniel. The real kings is the tribal children. Those are the real kings. But they don't carry crown on their head because they can search out matters that are concealed. All the kings of the earth were just dummy. Maxima walked in the calculator, they are just ruling flesh. That's why when you look at them, they call them the flesh of kings. Like Joker was teaching the book of John chapter 3 and also Hebrews chapter 12. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And also said it in Hebrews chapter 12. He said it. Look at what he said. My heart is indicted a good matter. I speak of the things which are made touching the king. So, king that does not have guiding a matter is the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing. The honor of the king to search out a matter. Okay, you keep hearing that when they come. Say, for this decree, this matter is decree of the holy watchers. Matter that God concealed. So he took a king to come and find them out. In the book of Daniel 2, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who have given me wisdom and might, and have made known unto me now what we desire of thee. For thou have made known unto us the king's matter. That is, these matters are matters of the kings. It's the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing. It's the glory of the king to search out the matter. So the king of Babylon cannot search out the matter. So it's not a king. But the guys that are captivity, that are in captive, they are really the real king over. That's why when Daniel brought the introduction, when he said it to Belshazzar, after he interpreted the vision with the writing, Belshazzar fell down and worshipped him. Daniel 2:46. One, two, everybody.
Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel.
So Daniel doesn't have any clan. He doesn't have royal garments. He doesn't have a physical throne. But this king knows that this is the king. He is the king, a man that they can throw in lion's den. A lion will shut his mouth. Is that not a king? They say lion is the king of the jungle. And a king of the jungle saw another king. That's higher than the king of the jungle. Also, is it not meant that they throw three people in the fire? And they came out alive. The king went and said, oh, you servant of God. Your God able to save you. He went to Babylon. He also cut them out of that flame. These were the king. Because why? They can settle the matters that are concealed. So you find that in the book of Daniel. Talk about matters. 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 For that are not made known unto us. The king's matter. This matter is the kings that have this matter. Because he couldn't even remember his dream. God concealed it. So you also find Joseph also walk in this reality. The king of Egypt told him, oh, he said, by your word shall my people be ruled. It's only by the throne alone. Genesis 41:39. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a man as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. In whom the Spirit of God is. That's why you know that Babylon is inferior than Egypt. When the king of Babylon, they call down, they say, whom the spirit of the gods are inside. So they talk about small God, but Pharaoh knew that this is not ordinary God. He was able to capture that this is a God above other gods, because Pharaoh himself is a God. All Pharaohs are gods. But you know that this one is a God over God. So when you read the book of Daniel, they talk about the spirit of God on Daniel. They use the word S, the spirit of holy gods, because Egypt is an ancient kingdom. I'm talking about that the same prince that raised Egypt, that raised Ethiopia, that raised Libya, that raised Assyria. So he has won that kingdom. That's when you read the book of Revelation chapter 10, they talk about that beast that came out of the bottomless pit. They say he has won up here, but he was injured. This man injured that beast. Men have risen on it that have injured things. They enjoy him and gave him deadly blows. Men that overcame beastly oppression. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown thee all this, what God has shown all this matter. Because the glory of God will conceive a thing. The honor of the kings to search them out. Because God has shown you of all these things, there's none so discreet and wise as thou. The king even knows that he's not as wise as him. There's no one discreet as wise as thou, including himself. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. So you can see when I say that God see the people as a ruler. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So, king of Pharaoh is only throne. That the king of Pharaoh was higher than that world. And he knew that the real king is that man. So, you find the same pattern. So, the real king are spirits. So, real spirits are kings over the kingdom of this world. Whereas, king over the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are spirits. For example, cherubims are kings. That's why you see the one five holy creatures, they could carry the throne on them. So you cannot say you are a king when you lack dominion. So we can see that until a soul becomes spirits, you are not yet a king. And what's the king? You can search out matters. And that's why the highest class of people that can search out matters are real cherubims, because they have eyes within and eyes without. Seraph cover their face, but it's only cherubim that have eyes within and without, and some of them also have eyes all over their body. So they are the ones that can search out things that are concealed. So it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter. The honor of kings is to search them out. So in this book of Psalm 2, there are kings and rulers. So kings there are spirits. He called it the kings of the earth. So the kings of the earth here are spirits over the kingdom of this world. And the rulers are men under the kings of the earth. So he's simply saying that these are enemies. What do we eat in range? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves together, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That means they are against the Son of God and Christ, the anointed. Or they are against the Lord and his anointed. The Lord, yes, everlasting, is the everlasting king. This Lord is everlasting king. This Lord, dear, is the revelation of Jehovah. Jehovah and his anointed. That means this anointed is the one that has the same strength with Jehovah. He's the Lord Almighty that has the same oil, that has the same strength as in Jehovah. So he's talking about the Lord and his anointed. This anointed is he that has entered its everlasting strength. So this Lord here in Psalm 2 is the everlasting God, is the revelation of the Father and Jesus as everlasting Father. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So here is everlasting domain, everlasting estate of who God is. Not eternal, but everlasting. Or that revelation that I talk about there is the creators of the ends of the heavens and the earth. That's another name for it. So they are casted against the Lord and his anointed. That means they are talking about the Lord, the creator. Proverbs 8, Isaiah chapter 54, Psalm 90. That is the Lord there. The Lord, the creator. That's how Isaiah 40 called it. Then Psalm 90 refer to that Lord there. He refer him to Lord, that have been our dwelling place. So, Lord, there is a dwelling place. But Psalm 91 called this place Shadow of the Almighty. So, it showed that the Most High, he has his shadow. Just like you have your own shadow. On that, in the secret place of the Most High. But the Most High casts shadow. So the shadow of the Most High is called the shadow of Almighty. So you can dwell, but you can abide. So the Most High is eternal. And then the Almighty is everlasting. And I say, the Most High. So under the shadow of Almighty, I will see of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. But he's not only my refuge and my fortress, he's also my God. He's both the Almighty and he's both God. So that Psalm 2 is talking about the everlasting, nature of the two Lords. But one Lord is anointed of the other one. So you can see that all the transaction is there, the thought of their heart, let us break their bond asunder. They wanted to break the agreement and the covenant, the bond that exists between the Lord and the anointed. They want to break it down so that they will not be of one heart and one mind anymore. They want to separate. They want to break asunder. the Lord and his anointed. Because that agreement is what has caged the kings and the rulers. So, and cast away their call from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in there. So the Lord there is his anointed. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. So the Lord, he said, I set his king, not any other king. I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. So this, my king there, is his anointed, which is the God, which is Christ, the Son of God. The Lord has said unto me, so he's talking about the Lord. So the Lord, which is what? Which is the Father, against the Lord and his anointed. The Lord has said unto my Lord, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. So, you see, why is the kings of the earth and rulers of the people? And why is the Eden? So, can you see the kings, the ruler, and the Eden? Eden, dear me, the people. Why are they enraged? And why are they imagining a vain thing? What I have in mind, I want to teach acknowledging the Son. Acknowledging the Son and the Father. So you saw that the heathen, the kings of the earth, and the rulers of the people, they refuse to acknowledge the Son. The king is the small Lord. In book of Psalm 2 that we are reading there, say he's against the law and against his anointed. So his anointed is what he called Lord in verse 4. The Lord shall have them in derision. Is the anointed that one that we have them in derision. Who he called the Lord, yeah, is his king that he has said, is what he called my king. So my king is my anointed. My king, which is upon my holy ear, is the Lord. That's my king. Is also small Lord. He also called it my son, my begotten. So their intention is to break the union between the Lord and his son. Not just his beloved son, but his begotten. He that see the devil shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in direction. Then shall he speak unto them his wrath. Yet have I set my king. So my king is my anointed. He's anointed. He's my son. And my son, my king of my holy hill of Zion. I will decree the decree. So there is the clear the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. So my son is my king. So my son is the one that the Lord, the Father. So the Lord there is the Father. The real Father, the Father God, he set his son on my holy hill of Zion. The Lord has said unto me, thou my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for the inheritance. So the heathen that is at rage. So the Father's decree that the son, my son, my king on holy hill of Zion, shall ask the heathen for inheritance. And the uttermost part of the earth for thy possession, for thy inheritance, and for thy possession. So, all the heathen are supposed to become the inheritance of the son. And all the uttermost part of the earth supposed to become his possession. Uttermost part of the earth are souls that are still earthly. Some people are heathen. Heathen, they mean Gentile. Men that are Gentilic. And then there's some that are not Gentilic. And also there are other people which are also what? They are uttermost part. Also, another of uttermost part of the earth are those who are on the sea. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter vessel. Be wise now, therefore. O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. So who is the Son? Kiss the anointed. Kiss the Son. So who is the Son? The Lord, the small Lord. Kiss the Son. Who is the anointed? The Son. Who is the King? Who is my King? So when you hear Son, begotten Son is my Son. What does it mean? He is a soul with the flesh and the blood of the Lord. Of the Lord of the everlasting God. So when you hear the word my Son, is the begotten. Because you can be beloved. In epistle, beloved is lower than begotten. You can be beloved, but you're not yet begotten. What makes you to be beloved is the keeping of commandments. When you start keeping the commandments of the Son, it is the keeping of the commandment of the Son that makes you to become beloved. The Father will love you. But the Father does not yet give it birth to you. For you to be the begotten of the Lord, as what he said in that Psalm 2, you must have arrived on his holy hill of Zion. So it is on the holy hill of Zion that you become beloved. And it is on the holy hill of Zion that you become begotten. But there are two seasons in everlasting life. So there are two seasons in everlasting life. The season of the beloved. The season of the beloved is your attendance to the word, which is attendance to the flesh and the water. Or, so your attendance to the word. The word is what makes you to become beloved. But it's not only word that must get back to you. You will need the law, which is the operation of the blood. So the word of the begotten is a word of blood. The matters of beloved is the matter of the word, which has to do with the flesh and its water, which has to do with his bread and his water, which is also a program of his will. Because the program that makes you beloved is his will. But there's a will you do, because he's beloved. You do the will of this world, the will of the flesh, and the will of his water. That means you must have done good and acceptable wills of God for you to become beloved. But you are not yet begotten. But the emphasis of God in this season is not just to be beloved. God wants to move us into a season where we can be begotten. The image that we want is the image of the begotten, not the image of the beloved Son. So there is the image of the beloved, but there is the image of the begotten. So what gives the image of the beloved is the word. The word. The word. And the word is the will. The word is the will of flesh and water. Or the will of bread and water. But you cannot be begotten without the program of covenants. They must open to you the sin of covenant, which is the program of the blood. The law is the program of the covenant. Is the program of the blood. Covenant is the program of the blood. Testimony is the program of the blood. Prophecy is the program of the blood. So there are seasons in the blood. So Jesus was not called begotten when he came to Jordan. This is my beloved Son. His beloved Son. So there's the image of the beloved. The image of the beloved is not a full image. That's when they talk about the begotten in Gospel of John chapter 1, He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him gave you power to become the sons of God, which we are born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. And the world was made flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. What is the begotten? Begotten. Say fool. So the beloved is not yet full. He has not attained fullness yet when you are a beloved. So Jesus, the beloved Son of God, is not yet the fullness. He has grace, he has truth, but it's not full grace. So grace is word. Truth is water. Sanctify them by their truth, for your word is truth. So truth is word, grace is also word. But there's a truth as a spirit. And grace as a spirit too. Because when you read Hebrews chapter 12, there's a spirit of grace. They'll attest to the spirit of grace and spirit of truth. So you can have grace and truth either as word. And you can have grace and truth also as spirits. Or another word, if you don't want to say word and the law, is also word and spirits. Word itself is a spirit, but it's a lower spirit strength. Just like principality, power, might, and dominion are spirits. But they are not as spirit as cherubim, who make his angels spirits. Or John chapter 4. The time is coming. And now it is they that worship God. We worship God in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit. So when they say a man is born, a man is begotten of the Father, it means that he has arrived at the fullness of that order. When you arrive at the begotten, you have arrived at the full ingredients. Everything you need, you have attained it. That's the place of begotten. But when you are instilled in the word of the beloved, you are a keeper of commandments. And commandments are offshoots of the word. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, his angels that excel in strength. Everybody do it. Say amen. His commandment are clean unto the voice of his word. The flesh has voice. The water has voice. The blood also has voice. And you receive both the voice of word and the voice of the blood on Zion. But the voice of the blood is on higher mountain, on Mount Zion. He said, for Moses said, I exceedingly fear and tremble at the voice of word. So there are voice of words. In Zion, there are two ministration that the Son of God give. Or my king, or my holy hill of Zion. There are two ministration that come from my son. My son, so my son can either minister the voice of words. For ye are not come unto Mount Zion, unto the mountain that might be touched, that burn with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words. Say voice of word. So the first allocation when you come to Zion, when you arrive in Zion, the first ministry they open you to is the ministry of the word. Three, the Son of God will start with the ministry of the word. So the ministry of the word is also called the voice, because ministry is a voice. Yes, sir. When you read this thing in Exodus, the Bible says there are voices on Mount Sinai. So it's, the first thing is the voice of words. But you're supposed to graduate from the voice of God. When you do the voice of God will deliver to you commandments. He said, with voice they that are entreated at the word. So what the voice of God does, he speak the word. And the word is both bread and water. The word is both seed and the snow. Because manna is a word. Because the way manna rained down, a big amen. The ministry of the world is the ministry of the seed. The ministry of the world is also what they refer to as the snow. The way manna come down. They call manna, said manna like coriander seed. It was white. It's white. So the same way manna rained down, and when the sun began to set, it will melt away. The same way when snow fell down, snow also melt away. So the ministry of the world, so when you read Psalm 55, the ministry of the world is what they call, he gives a seed to the sower. Well, so seed and snow coming down from heaven. So those things are the will. The world has a will. The world has a will. The blood also has the will. But the will of the world will produce a beloved. He will raise in you a beloved. But he cannot produce a begotten. So you find that in that Hebrews chapter 12, there's the voice of words. That they that heard it entreated that the word should not be spoken. Why? Because of what was commanded. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. So when they want to give the same image of the Son of God, they don't just dash it. What not? First, you must first of all conclude, or what you have to stay. You have to stay with the word. And the ministry of the word of the Son of God, the ministry of the Son, the King, is anointed on his holy. The ministry, when the Son of God is ministering, you must also endure the word. The word must endure. That's the problem of they that left us. In 2 John chapter 2, you will never acknowledge the Son when you cannot continue. Because when you can't continue with the word, when the word can wear you out, like the word wore out the children of Israel in Hebrew 3, Hebrew 4. Today, if you hear his voice, that voice was the voice of the word. That the word should not be spoken unto them. Because in the sin of the voice of the world, they will give you commandments. He said in that book of Hebrews chapter 12, the voice of word, Hebrews 12, 19, the voice of word, which voice they that heard entreated. That he was charging the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and 3 and 4. Today if you hear his voice, that voice is the beginning of the word. For the word was spoken to them. But the word, this word is not mixed with faith in them that heard him. Who started with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 and 3? God, who has found a time in time past, spake to the Father by the prophets, and in this last day spoken unto us by his Son or in his Son. So the ministry of the Son, when the Son of God is ministering, the first thing the Son of God minister is his word. When the ministry of the Son, the word is coming, is the ministry of the voice of the word. And so what the word delivered to you are commandments. Which voice they that had entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. So the issue is that when word is coming, commandment is given. So commandment is the revelation of the will of the flesh and the will of the water. The will of the flesh and the will of the water. So the commandment, that's the will. Say the commandment. Is the will. That means the pleasure of the Son, the pleasure of the Father, what the Father wants to be done in the seed that the word is being ministered to you. No, that's why what the word must, I say, when the word comes to you, the word give light and give understanding for the entrance of his word. Give a light, give understanding. So what is light? Light understanding is the unveiling, unpacking of the pleasure of the Father. Which are commandments. Commandments. Bless the Lord, you angel. That what? That do his commandment. Act not to the voice of his word. So what the word will deliver to you are commandments. So commandment is pleasure. Which they refer to, either they call it flesh and water, or they call it meats and drink. Or they call it what? Seed and snow. Or they call it bread and rain. That's how Isaiah 55 called them. He was talking about the same thing here. So shall my word be as the rain coming down and the snow from heaven and return not eater, but water the earth and make it to bring forth and bore, that he might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So the rain, the snow are my word. The seed are my word. They are the season of my word. That which is the ministry of the Son on his holy hill. So that's the first season. And that is what they refer to, that you are eating of his flesh and you are drinking of his water. His flesh there is the seed. His flesh there is what? Is the what? Is the bread. Inside that bread, like God said, my meat is to do the will of who has sent me and to finish it. When God said, I'm the bread of life. God is calling the bread of life. Then I'm the word. Because immediately I'm the bread of life and everybody left him. I'm the true bread that came down from heaven. So after he said that, God said, you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and you drink. And you drink the Son, which is water, not blood. For he said, for you have no life in judgment. A lot of disciples left him. And they turned on to them. Won't you also go away? Then what was the answer of Peter? Unto whom shall you go? For you alone are the word. The word. You have the word of life. You have the word of life. So the word of life can make a son. Philippians chapter 2. Look at it. So look at it. I was telling you something. Look at it. Everybody, want to go, everybody? Wherefore, my beloved. Wherefore what? My beloved. As you have always obeyed. Obey what? Obey commandments. A big amen. Obey. Not as in my presence only, but now, much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will. Say to will. And to do what? It's good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring. These are commandments. Do what without what? Murmuring, disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God. But what kind of son of God? Beloved sons. Sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among you shine as light in the world. Oh, the word of life. So what produced these sons of God is the word of life. If they are obedient to the word of life. So they are in the season of the word of life. They are not moving to the season of the blood. So they are in the season of the word. So what can produce son? When a man do war, you can produce son. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John 2. 1 John chapter 2. Let's quickly see something. 1 John 2. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, Father, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome thou the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, Father, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, want to go, everybody? Because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So you see, these young men, they have the word of God. So with the word, you can overcome. You can overcome. Like Jesus did overcome when Satan, the devil, came to tempt him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. So word can overcome. But that is not full overcoming. Because you're supposed to have the word, you're supposed to have the word of the Lamb, and you're supposed to have the blood of his testimony. Yes, you need both the word and the blood for you to fight the dragon. So you need both the word and you need the blood. So the ministry of the Son of God, I'm teaching about acknowledging the Son. Because these are things we must acknowledge. A church may be in the season of the world for 15, 20 years. And one thing that can happen is that they may not continue in my word. Because, like what happened to those people in 1 John, they went out from us. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would not that have continued with us. That they went out, that they may be made manifest, that they were not of us. So these people, what was handed? They were handing the word. It was the sin of the word. Because that was how this first John chapter 1 started. It was the sin of the word. They were adding the word of life. But they could not continue. They went because they could not continue with the word. You just take the seed and refuse to have the rain. You don't just take the bread and refuse to drink. You will abort the sin of the word. So the Son can give you of his flesh, but it may not be necessary to take of his water. You may not want the will of the water. So we can see that there's the will of the flesh is different from the will of water. The will of flesh, the will of water. The water has will inside, and the flesh has will. Because both the flesh, the water, and the blood, they are keeper of volume of the will. They are keepers of will. The flesh keep the will. The water co-hold the will. And the blood, all the fullness of the will. And you're supposed to finish the will. It is in finish the will that you are begotten.
Yes, sir.
Or it is in perfect will that you begot you. You find that in Hebrews chapter 13. You also find that in what? In Peter. That I teach doesn't mean that we have gotten it. It's another thing to teach. I'm just giving you just knowledge and the presence of you. They need to come and subject you to dealing.
Yeah.
But I need to teach and teach and teach until you agree with it.
Yes,
or you acknowledge it.
Yeah.
You must acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Because you can be hearing it. Your heart is not yet acknowledging it. Acknowledging me, you are acquainted with it. Your soul romance it and your soul intercourse it.
Wow.
That is when you receive dealing of God over it. That you hear it, it's not the hearer that is blessed, it's the doer. There's a time between hearing and doing. It's supposed to be the season of the word of everlasting life or the word of life. He has not moved into the season of the blood. So you see in this Hebrew 13, now the God of peace that brought the grave from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. Well, to do his will. So the blood of everlasting covenant, as his will.
Yeah.
Working in you that which is well pleasing his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
There's the will of the blood. Just as there's the will of the flesh. So you find this one. He led according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctification of the Spirit. And unto obedience is the word. And sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. I said the voice of God does what he does. He gives commandments. Which are his will. The will are commandments. So when we hear will is commandments. Will is not who shall I marry. The real will is commandments. So there is a voice of war that did I heard it. Okay, that you are in the church, that you are hearing teaching, does not mean you are hearing the voice of word. You may be hearing knowledge and precept. So it's not everybody that, as I'm teaching now, you may not be hearing the word because you may not be hearing the voice of word. What you're just hearing is just knowledge. Because it takes time for the voice of word to be spoken to you. That's why he charged Hebrew church today, if you will hear his voice, a man can hear knowledge, but he's not hearing the voice. He cannot hear the voice of his word. And the first thing, and it's normal, all of us, we start with that. We all start with knowledge.
Yes, sir.
We are not hearing the voice of his word. They may depend. It all depends on the state of the heart. The son can be speaking, but you're only having knowledge, but you have not yet arrived at the voice of war. And it's until you arrive at the voice of war, that's when the son start ministering to you.
Yeah.
That's when the son start ministering as an high priest to you. There are things that you must do to yourself if you are going to move into the ministry of the word that the son of God is saying. He's saying, Book of Mark, take heed to how you hear. Because there's something about the vacuity of the soul they are hearing. Another thing that happened to the Hebrew church is dullness of hearing. There are things you have to look into and take care of if you hear the voice of his word. So there are things I must pay attention to. I must deal with dullness. I must deal with unbelief. I must deal with deceivableness of sin. Because those are things I must deal with, hardness of heart. Those are things that you have to deal with. If what happened to the children of Israel when the word was spoken to them, but the word could not profit them, not be missed with the faith that they had it, you also can be hearing and the word will not enter. So there are things that I must do if I want to enjoy the season of the voice of word. So that people are not just having only knowledge. I feel that one of the things that is very, very important when you see 1 John 2, for this the word that you have heard. That church, the word they have heard. Yeah, look at it. Give me from 3 to 5. A big amen.
Yeah.
Give me 3 to 5. Amen. And yeah, we do know that we know him. So the first attendance, the first acquaintance to the son is acquaintance with the voice of his word. You must acquaintance and acknowledge it. It's the voice of his word. You must acknowledge it. You must be an acquaintance. You must romance that thing. You must intercourse the word. But you can't intercourse the word if there are no works that have been done in your soul. All this thing, you will find it when you see, when you read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the last 3 verses. And onto chapter 3, the first 5 verses, they were the season of the ministry of the word. Ministry of the word will reconfigure your heart and make your heart an heart of flesh. And under the sin of everlasting life, there's a kind of heart. A heart, because you must be a person that can tremble at the word. But you must know that there are 2 ministries on Mount Zion. But the Son of God will do. The Son will give the voice of word, and there will be the voice of the blood. But the first season in everlasting life, the first ministry of the Son that is spoken this last day is the voice of his word. And the Son can uphold all things by the word of his power. So the word has power, but the blood has much more strength than the word. So you must, all the preparation that is required for the heart to be able to undo the word before you can undo the law, or before you can undo the blood. So there are things that I must do to my soul. One of the things I must do to my soul, I must deal with dullness in me. Things that make you calm, and you think that you have heard, and you have heard. Because you have attended meeting, you felt I've heard and heard. Or the thing that when you are hearing that make your bonbon to scratch and you light to run away, something, things that make you to drop out, you are hearing the word. And when the word is being pushed beyond your understanding, that make you to, you shut down. Those are diseases. They are diseases that want to deny you the commandment that the voice of his word brings. You see, you must know your enemy and fight them. When you get into this season, you must know what you are fighting. Because these are enemies that they must subdue. And until you start subduing these enemies, that's when you must start showing gradually
You must start learning over your infirmity. You must start learning over things that is working your heart and your mind. God, these are your enemies. These are the enemies of God. They don't want the word of God to prosper in your life. So you must know them. You must know them. You must write them down. You must track them and able to track them down. Look at when Peter was writing. He was writing 1 Peter. He told them, say, gird up the loins of your mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end. For the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the season of the word. Because it's the grace that they want to bring. And the grace is of the word of his grace. Is the word of grace. But the grace here is the grace of everlasting life. And the grace is condoned through word. Let your word be seasoned with grace that it can minister. So during the season of the world, they want to gather the loins. One of the things you must do to your mind, you must gather the loins of your mind. So we must know what we need to be doing now. Peter was saying that the season that they are bringing the grace to you. Because it's the grace, which the season of the grace is this season of the, is that the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus Christ to you. Jesus Christ don't want to appear, the coming of Jesus Christ to you. So what Jesus Christ, when he come to you from Mount Zion, when he come, the first season of his appearing is the season of his word. Or the season of the ministry of his word. Or the ministry of the voice of his word. And so if the ministry of his voice of his word, he told them, one thing you must do, you must gather the loins of your mind. Because Hebrew church, we saw what happened to their mind. Hebrew church mind, when you read the book of Hebrew, their mind, they became weary and faint in their mind. You can become weary and faint in your mind. That this thing, why, what? And as they are giving word, what is coming, after a while, commandment about commandment will be coming. Because until commandment start coming, you don't know the will, you don't know his will. It is commandment that show you the will that you should do. You can be hearing and hearing and hearing. You have to wait until commandments start coming out. Commandment for husband to his wife. Commandment of wife to his husband. The way the husband should love his wife. Which is different from the way you have been loving before. The way the husband should sacrifice. The way the husband should lay down his life. The way the husband should not look on his own thing. Commandment will start coming with detail and precisions. When that is coming, they are showing you how Christ loves. Peter showed that kind of commandment. He said, husband should not be angry with their wife because they are heirs of the grace of life. He said, you should dwell with your wife with understanding, with knowledge. Those are commandments. Considering that they are weaker vessels. I mean, you should treat them the way you treat weaker vessels. Don't be aggressive on your wife. I know sometimes you want to come to church on Sunday morning and they are taking 1 hour to do makeup. I know you are going for a couple's meeting and you are woken them up since 8 o'clock and the meeting is 10. They have been doing the phase from 7 o'clock and they will not finish even at 10:30. And those things can cause you to be angry with them. And you can make you to shout at them. But when you do that, you will not keep the commandment of the word. So there are commandments. And when that commandment is coming, they are showing you the will. They are showing the will of the flesh of Jesus. They are showing you the will of the water. So the flesh has will, document of the will. The water has documents. And they are in volume. Volume means they are in measurements. They are in volume. 35 cl. 50 cl. 75 cl. 1 liter. So they carry volume. You're supposed to do all the volume of the flesh, the volume of the water, and you finish the volume of the blood. Then you say the volume is you are full. You are completed. Then you are born. Just like nobody born a child at 6 months. You are going to like a stillbirth. So God does not give birth. You don't become the begotten of his image. The begotten of his image of the Father until you have moved into the will of the blood. So husbands, you are going to have commandment of the will you should do. There's a will to husband. Give you commandment of kind of honor you should give to your wife. Because one thing that is very difficult, when you start seeing excess of people, when you start seeing people that you dishonor them. One thing that every man must overcome is familiarity. You can be so familiar with your wife. But when the son starts ministering his word, it will need to deal with familiarity in your heart. Because the person that is your wife is heirs together of life. He's an inheritor. He's an inheritor. And I can tell you, if you know someone that is an inheritor of $1 billion, I know that you will not mess up around such a person. Your wife is an inheritor of $1 billion. And that money is supposed to eat your joint account. And she's misbehaving. She's not doing well. She's not serving your food. You are going to brand Mama Puts and bring home. Because of why? You recognize that she's your heir of the grace of life. So you're able to bring forth more tolerance. You can show more patience. Say, likewise, deal with her with understanding. So that's the commandment of God for you. They just finished hearing it out for you to do. So Peter attached why you are dealing with her with knowledge. Why you are dealing with her with understanding. Because there's inheritance. She has something that's supposed to bring into your joint account. And what she needs to bring to your joint account is that which is incorruptible. It can bring into your joint account that which is unfading. It's supposed to bring to your joint account into your family that which does not pass away. And both of you are collaborating together to see that investment land in your joint account of your family. So there are commandments that the world prescribes. There are commandments of the grace, the word of his grace. The voice will begin to give you commandments. And you must attend to it. So you start seeing as a man, as a husband, they are telling you, don't be angry. Don't be wrath. They also tell you why you should not be angry with them because of your prayer. Because your prayer must be answered. That's one of the reasons why I said you should not be angry. Because of your prayer, they said it there. Because of your prayer, that your prayer has been not hindered. And you know the kind of prayer here, you are not praying for money. What you are asking for, they're not prayer for your business to move forward. They're nothing bad for your healing. But here you are praying the kind of prayer that Jesus offered in the day of his flesh. Who in the day of his flesh offered prayer and supplication to him was able to save you from death and he was heard. There are prayers that you know you are praying as husband. You are praying that God should deliver you from death. God should deliver you from corruption. You cannot be angry with her. You have to walk with knowledge and understanding with her because of your prayer. You don't want your prayer to be hindered. You want God to be able to answer you. That before you call, answer come. Because you need deliverance from corruption. You need deliverance from flesh. You are carrying this. That's what it means to gather up your loins, to gather all the doors of your mind. You are very, very conscious that I need my prayer to be answered. I cannot. I'm not asking for anointing. I'm asking for deliverance from death. I'm asking for deliverance from corruption. Those are my petitions. I have to make sure my mind is guarded well. I cannot allow any ground that the enemy can bring for accusation. I want to make sure, having done nothing to stand, I'm still standing. Because we have an adversary that we must overcome. It's a thing that we must fight our enemies. So you are fetching commandments. You want to do the will of God. You want to please the Lord. You are trying to understand the will of God in this season so that you can offer it. Because nothing will please God except his will. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Is what pleases him is his will. What pleases him is what he has commanded you. You cannot just offer God any nonsense. It's what the Lord requires that you ask. He said it in book of Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering, thy will let not. In sin offering and butter, that I have not required. What you give to God is what he requires of you. And what he requires of you is what he commanded you. So there's no, that's the season of the voice of the word. The word is pregnant with commandment. The word is pregnant with commandment. The word has commandment that he desired to make known to you. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, say, you search the scripture. In it, you thought you have eternal life. But you will not come to me. 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 So, because there's what you must do is with him. What you must do is in his flesh. What he must do is in his body. So his flesh
His water and his blood is what they call the body of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10. That's how they call it. Hebrews chapter 10, they call it the body of Jesus. What is in the body of Jesus? That body is not his actual body. The body of Jesus. The thing that frame his soul, the body of Jesus. The body of Jesus, Hebrews 10. Wherefore, when he came unto the world, he said, sacrifice and offering, thy will not, but a body. A body. See, flesh is in the body. Water is in the body. The blood is in the body. Jacob was talking. He said, look at me. I am not spirit. For spirit has no flesh and bones. So that body is not the physical body of Jesus. It's a body of the will. That's what your car is consumed. Your car is, hey, the body, you can finish the body. That's what they call the will. My means to do the will and to finish it. He finished the flesh. He finished the water. And he drank the blood that made up the body. A body that will prepare me. Everybody, we are all comers. We are all comers. We come with the will. You have not start coming if you have not find the will. You are still lost. Or you have not yet started taking your true person until you have find the will. And you are doing it. It is in doing the will that you emerge. It is doing the will that you are configured and conformed. Because men are conforming to this world, but you can be transformed by renewing by another will that can prove that what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So he said in that Hebrew 10, for when he cometh unto the world, like he said in Hebrew chapter 1 and 2, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. So before this world, they bring the first begotten into is in the world to come. When he bringeth the first begotten into that world. And you also supposed to appear in the world to come. Hebrews chapter 10. The law has a shadow of things to come. And not the very image. Because here we are talking about the same image. The very image of the things. The express image. The very image of things to come. So the law is a shadow. It's not the exact replicants. So, but it's the very image of things. And the very image are carved in the wheel. In the program that is in the body that was prepared for you. They call it the very image. You know, the theme of the meeting is the same image. So you can, if you call it the same image, you call it the very image. Or you call it the express image. It's talking about the same thing. The very image. The same image. The express image. Nothing falling short of that which the Son of God became. And these are programmed in his body. The law having a shadow of good things. So you see, what God wants to give us, God wants to give us good things to come. How can you have good things to come? Good things to come. The good things to come is not the thing. God wants to wire with things that you become the embodiment. You are the good that is to come. And from him, who was? Who is and who is to come? If he is to come, you are also supposed to come. But your very image, that your very image is supposed to appear. The law came through Moses. Grace and truth came through our Lord Jesus Christ. What the guys came with is the very image of things to come. The law is just a shadow of it. What is the very image? The true. The very image, the true one. Nothing short of the true. For the law having a shadow of good things to come. That's why I can promise you there's a future in the heart of God for you.
Yes, sir.
God has something that's conceived in his heart.
Yes, sir.
There's one thing must become. The what I've been called, the call of the Lord to you is not where you are going, it's what you should become. It's in becoming. It is not what you are where you are going, it's in becoming. It's not about going to heaven. There are many people in heaven, but they have never became. He came into his own receiving, but I'm not receiving, he gave them power to become. It's your becoming. Become it. Become the very image. Become the very image of things. So what the law could do, the law could only produce shadow of things to come. So he took what the Son brought. He took what the Son is giving.
He takes what the body of the Son carries. His flesh, his water, and his blood. It is in his body that the very image of things to come is couched. And not the very image of the things can never, with those sacrifices which they offer yearly by yearly, make the comers. So those who want to come to God, they need to receive the very image of things. Because this is Hebrew 10. Then when we arrive at Hebrew chapter 11, by faith, it's impossible to please God. But they that must come to God, to come to God, it's not that God is somewhere. I mean, those who will become like God. Another place where you find come to God is Ephesians chapter 4. He gave the fivefold ministry for the needs of the faith. He called the congregation of the Lord, he called it the great congregation in Psalm 40. Men whom he has taken away from horrible pit. Men who he has placed their feet upon the rock to stand. Men who he has established their going forth. Men who are common, who his will is not to do anything but to use will in the deals with their flesh. Like David, that served God in his generation according to the will of God. So the law only has shadow of the very things to come. The law will have a shadow. But the Son brought the very image of things to the comers. The very image of things are not for those who are looking for something from God. God heal my sick. God heal my dead. God heal my this. God do my this thing. God give me husband. God give me wife. God give me business. God give me money. Those are not comers. Comers are those that are interested in the very image of the things to come. And comers are to be made perfect. So they want to come until they are perfected. And the only thing that can perfect them is the thing of the body of Jesus. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers, another word for name for comers, are worshippers. So God is not looking for any kind of worshipper. God is looking for men that they can worship according to his will. Men that can bring forth worship that can be pleasing to him. Worship is not singing. Worship is a life of obedience. You are living according to that which is written. That which is in the volume of the book. That which the book of his body archive in the flesh. The book of his body archive in his water. Volume that's called his blood archive. You move from his flesh to his water. From his water to his blood. You move. You know how to transact with things in his flesh. You know how to transact with things of his blood. Which are the voice of his word. You know how to manage that ministry. The means of his will in his word. Then you move from his word, you move into his blood. Or you move into his spirits. Another for his blood is his spirits. Because that the worshiper once poured should not have no more conscience of sin. So you can see that there's nowhere they can purge you of sin without doing the will of God. Prayer does not purge you of sin. Prayer can't purge you of sin. It's only the will of God that purge you of sin. That's why when you go and read Psalm 51, you will see David. David did not go to the temple to go and kill an animal when he killed a human being. You see the kind of sacrifice that David offered God. Broken heart. Contrite spirit. These are the sacrifices of God, which God will not despise. He fetched those sacrifices by they commanded him. When Nathan brought news to him, it was a commandment. Nathan broke him down. He responded. Something in him was broken. Those are sacrifices of God. And those things are commandments. Those are things that David offered. When everybody sinned, they carry animals to go and wash. Well, David carried a broken heart of God. He carried a contract. They commanded him. God told him, I shall arrange his heart. He arranged his heart with truth in the inward parts. Adorned his heart with wisdom in the hidden parts. And presented it to God, which was the program of the will of God. So those are things that can purge heart. It can purge your mind. It can purge your conscience. Conscience, where sin still linger. What is sin? Sin, dear, is a formula of life where you lean back to go and fetch answers, meaning, definitions. Because conscience answer to God. But if they've not put your conscience, how can you answer? There are things that God commands you can't answer. Okay, why are you not? For if thou have done well, won't you have been received? For sin did not have you, and sin let the door of your heart, you couldn't answer God. It departed from the living God. It departed from the presence of God. What was wrong? Something was wrong with that conscience. That conscience could not receive material. God could not command that conscience. God could not instruct that conscience to generate sacrifices that will bring forth brokenness and contriteness and turning from the way of destruction and perdition that our heart is going. So you can see the training of conscience with the will of God is a training of the heart with the will of God. Is a training of your mind with the will of God.
that makes the mind to be able to be delivered from the former life that's enthroned in the soul. Because those things that design your soul, they are also the will. They are the will of man. They are the will of flesh. They are the will of blood. That have trained the conscience, have trained the heart, have trained the mind. The mind is doctor. The mind moves in a way. There's a kind of thing you respond to. There are things that give your heart joy. There are things that you find when you see a lady or you see a man that because it's not in relationship, there is no liberty. There's no peace. There's no strength to obey God. There's no strength that you can leave that widow in that temple. He only married for 7 years only. And he lived on to first call, 80-something years. I mean, you can be sure that this lady lived more than 50 years plus in the temple praying and fasting. He could have room to marry, but he has so much help of God that the soul was so raised. They could come and talk to him about the coming Messiah. If you are disturbed about God, when my husband comes, I know that other people like him, that they, every time when they come to the temple, what they ask God, when the husband comes, they were not inquiring about the coming Messiah. So they could not order their feet to meet Jesus Christ when they brought Jesus Christ. Because what their mind was preoccupying is about when should I marry? As in marriage is the answer. Our soul needs to be married first. Let your soul be married before you answer marriage in the outside. And stop venturing into things that he does not profit the conscience and the heart by the day that I exercise therein. There are things that does not profit. They are only for the body. But they do not profit the work, deeper work upon the soul. Hebrews 10. For then would they not have ceased to be offered because that the worshiper once passed should no more have conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again of sins every year. Do you know something? There are things that we find ourselves doing again, doing and again, doing and again. And there's nothing that can take away those things that we do. Our habit, nature, is the will. They need to give you commandment against them. Because what we are doing, sin program us. They must give us another commandment. And that's why, as the Lord puts sin, as the Lord puts iniquity, is true opening the DNA of the word. You have seen this in the book of Job chapter 22. You must even love from his mouth. You must lay up his word in thy heart. There's the law you must live on his mouth. And there's also lay up his word in thy heart. First of all, you need his word before the law. So there's a Lord in his mouth and there is his word. So there's his law and there is his word. So the first answer, the first thing the Son of God minister when he's appear on Mount Zion is to minister his word. And they want you to use his word upon your heart. Book of Proverbs, Proverbs 3. From verse 1, look at how he rendered it. My son, forget not my law. Comma. So, what is the law? Let thy heart keep my commandment. So, you need commandment first. Let thy heart keep my commandment. Just like Job, he said, you receive his law from his mouth, you lay up his word, which are his commandments, in thy heart. Job Proverbs 3. For length of days, at this same thing, look at it. Length of days and long life. I don't know what he's saying. Whenever there are men that have the law of God upon the head, days will be lengthened. Whenever there are men that are wicked, they shorten days. My son, forget my law. Let the heart keep my command. Whenever there are those who are keeping commandment, they will give length to days. But when there are men that does not keep his law, they will shorten the day. Then when they lengthen the day, they can also give you long life. Long life. Long life is everlasting life. And peace shall they add to thee. So they can add to this. And they can reduce from this. They can supply from this. They can add to this. So when there are more people that are disobedient to death, they will supply from this. But when men that are everlasting live on the earth, they will add more days to it. So a day with the Lord is 1,000. So we heard Joker say in book of Matthew 24, he said those days be shortened so they can share. No soul shall be saved. But because of the elect sake, so they have to shut because of the letter, because wickedness upon iniquity has a ban. Love of many has waxed cold. They have to shorten the day. They can be shortened because there are men that become waxed cold. They shorten the day. But when there are men that are hot, they are fire, they are love righteousness, they will lengthen the day and they will give them long life. Instead of people going to the mountains, go and pray, God, give me Lord God. Lord, give me life. Let men live righteously. Let men does not forget the love of God. Let them obey God. They will add to days and they will give them long life. So he called his laws and his commandment, he called them mercy. Verse 3, forget not, let not mercy and truth. So, now I was teaching about mercy. So, mercy is his law.
The truth is his commandments. Malachi 2. Oh, ye priests, this commandment is for you. Men should come and see from you the law for your mouth, the law of truth. So, mercy and truth is law and commandments. Forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace. This is also Job chapter 22 from 21. Our acquaint thyself with him and be at peace with him. Thy good shall come to him. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth and lay up his word in thy heart. His word is his commandments. So I'm teaching the ministry of the Son of God, the fourth season, which is what? Ministration of the word. Ministry of the word starts with his flesh unto his water. So it's time they do take flesh, not the same time you take water. Can take his flesh for 15 years. 10 years, 7 years, depending how you handle the loins of your mind, how you prepare your hearts for the word. That's the essence why Paul was writing to Hebrew church from Hebrew 3 and 4. Today, if you hear his voice, he wants them to make sure they deal with it. He begins to tell them what they should deal with. Deal with unbelief, deceitfulness of sin, things, hardness of heart, things that will not make sure the sin of the world to prosper, which is the sin where they want to take away, stolen heart from you. There are things they must do for you so that you don't miss out from the season of the flesh. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So if you forget his law and his commandment, mercy and truth will also forsake you. Because those are the things that bind you together. Bind them about thy neck. That's his word. If you also read Deuteronomy, write them upon the tables of thy heart. So shall thy find favor. That favor is grace. No, I find favor. No, I find grace in the presence of God. Show that I find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Then verse 5, trust the Lord in all your heart. With all. So you cannot trust the Lord with all your heart if you have forgotten the law and you have not kept the commandment in your heart. Those are the things that make you to trust the Lord with all your heart. You must have done exercise of his word and his law. You can trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean on to your own understanding. Because now you have a good understanding. You don't lean to your own because you have good understanding. In all your way, acknowledging. I'm thinking about the acknowledging the Son. Acknowledging and it shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own conceit. Eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be head to thy navel and marrow to thy bone. So you find that in this Psalm 40, there are two things you must delight in. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is of me. I delight. What's the first thing? To do thy will. I delight to do thy law. So the will there is the flesh. Oh my God. Yea, thy law. So there's thy will and there's thy law. You must do the will first. The will of the flesh. Then you move into the law, which is the blood. Oh my God, yea, thy law is written within my heart. But the first thing is I delight to do thy will. You must do the will, which is the word. Then you move into the blood, which is the law. Father, Lord Jesus, we receive mercy for our soul, Lord. That we not just be hearers only, O God. We don't want to deceive ourselves. Make us a doer of your will, Lord. Make us to do your will, O God. Amen. We will do your will, O God, until we arrive at your law that we written upon our heart in the name of Jesus. And by writing your law in our heart, we make covenant with you, Lord. We make covenant of life everlasting, which is by the blood of covenant everlasting in the name of Jesus. We will do that which is also well-pleasing in the blood, Lord. Thank you, Father. Honor the Son of God. Jesus' name, we are praying.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.